Well, one other big breakthrough this week is that scientists have solved a mystery that they've been trying to crack for at least 70 years. And that mystery is, how do you get sperm to grow in a dish? Now, it might sound a bit trivial, but actually it's a really important discovery, this, for various reasons. And what scientists have done over the last 70 years has been to try to persuade the stem cells that in a testis mature to form sperm cells, actually in a dish, but they've never managed to do it. But now this group, who are based in Japan, it's Takehiko Ogawa and his colleagues, they're at Yokohama City University over in Japan, they've published their method this week in the journal Nature, and it really works. So what they did was to take a small sample of testis tissue, because they reasoned that the reason that you can't make sperm cells grow in a dish is perhaps because the cells need the three-dimensional environment and nourishment provided by all of the other supporting cells and stem cells that are in the testis. And by taking a small piece of the testis, in this case they used very, very young mice, and they put this small piece of tissue in a culture dish, and then they used a very specialised way of nurturing the tissue. So they grew it in a sort of agarose, sort of jelly-like material, that they also supplied with growth factors and other nutrients. And they also did another clever genetic trick, which was to use mice that had been genetically engineered so that when they produced a sperm cell, which contains half as much genetic material as a normal cell, then it would glow green so they could spot them easily. And what they found is under these clever conditions, they started to produce glowing green cells. When they examined them, they could see that they actually had cells that were consistent with being mature sperm being produced over several weeks. It took a few weeks of culture to make this happen. But then the real clincher was that they were able to take those sperm cells and fertilize an egg to produce viable baby mice, proving that they're actually producing really live, viable sperm from this technique.
That is really impressive, but how can this help people?
Well, it's a good question, because it does sound, as I said at the beginning, a little bit trivial, but it isn't, because there are many, many examples of where people can't produce viable sperm, and this leads to infertility. One very important consideration is there are some people who have to have various medical treatments, for instance, chemotherapies for cancer, and those chemotherapies can destroy the environment in the testicle or the stem cells themselves that make the sperms, rendering someone infertile. And at the moment, people do bank away sperm before they have those kinds of treatments. But the problem is that that means there's a limited supply of the tissue, there's a limited supply of sperm, and if the sperm doesn't work very well, then the person may actually not be able to reproduce after they've got better from their cancer. So with something like this, you could take a small sample of the tissue and then produce as many sperm as you needed later.
OK, so what are the costs of preserving sperm versus using this amazing new technique?
Yeah, good question. Well, to actually bank away sperm is very, very cheap, because all it involves doing is collecting a sample of semen and then you freeze it in liquid nitrogen at about -200 degrees. This has been used for many, many years for not just sperm, but eggs and other tissue as well. And it seems to keep the tissue viable. But again, it's a limited amount of tissue that you are able to store that way. And if you use it all up, you've run out. Or if something goes wrong with the storage, you've lost it. Whereas if you have tissue that can reproduce new sperm from fresh, then that's got to be a much better outcome. It will be more expensive, but at the end of the day, it's probably going to be better medically to have that option open to you, I would argue.